I had it off so I wouldn't kill you. Trains are mighty and strong and powerful, just like my voice right there. You feel it, don't you? There's the presence. And even with improved rail designs, all the stuff that they're doing with the train engines, we're getting faster and more capable and stronger and more efficient. What happens to all that power when it goes off the rails? What happens to all that cargo? What happens to all those precious people when it goes off the rails? Crash and burn. Crash and burn, baby. The capability of the engine is sufficient if it stays on track. The potential is all there if it stays on track. Otherwise, crash and burn. And that's the basic premise of the scripture passage today. Stay on track. Stay on track. The book of Deuteronomy records the speech that Moses is making. Glenn did a great job reading what Moses was saying. He addressing the generation of the Israelites that grew up in the wilderness. Just think about that for a second. They're about to inherit the promised land. They had been nomads for 40 years. Most of them never knew any other way of life. They were getting ready to enter the land of milk and honey. Finally, a place to call home. Finally, a street address. Finally, my own zip code. The promised land of milk and honey was territory that was promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The descendants now are preparing to fulfill that promise. God knows, as the people inhabit the land, they're going to face a lot of distractions. As the people inhabit the land, they're going to face many temptations, many obstacles in the way of their faith. The history of God's people has been plagued with lots of failures, lots of disobedience, lots of wandering around. And Moses is crying out, "Hear now, Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you." He wants them to remember. He wants them to stay on track. These first few chapters in Deuteronomy, Moses gives a brief history. Remember all those times God was faithful to you when you were not faithful to him? Remember all those times God was merciful towards you and all you did was turn your back on him? Remember all those times God provided for you and all you did was complain about the provision? Remember all those times God was loyal towards you and you questioned his every move? Remember? Remember the Lord your God and stay on track. Can you remember a time when God was good to you? Listen, children of Israel, these are the laws and the decrees. This is God's word. This is how he wants you to live in the promised land. This is how he wants you to excel, to have purpose. And they'll be foundational to your success now and forevermore. So there's your first one. God's word, foundational. It's foundational. Listen, New Life Alliance Church, children of God, God's word is foundational. If you want to have success now and forevermore, if you desire success in the promised land, heed God's word. Don't ignore it. Don't water it down. Don't add to it. Learn it and be successful. Abide in it and gain wisdom. Study it and gain understanding. God's word is foundational. And God's word was foundational to the forming of the United States of America. Anybody disagree with that? It was foundational to its continued existence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That's the foundation of the United States of America, talking about God. Many are frightened today because we feel this basic premise, this basic foundational structure slipping away in America. And it may well be. So what does it mean to you? Our next generation is extraordinarily valuable. Our next generation is exceedingly important. Worthy of our time, worthy of our prayers, worthy of our care, worthy of our ministry. This is such an awesome country with all its diversities and freedoms. You know, the people that even hate this country don't leave this country. That's how good it is. Don't let people fool you. This country was founded on biblical principles. And if someone starts talking to you about how bad America is and all the struggles that it's been through and all the ways that it's gone, and maybe you just go, well, perhaps we've gotten off track. God did not give us his word so that he would just have something to say or he liked the sound of his own voice. God's word here is to guide you. God's word is to direct you, to lead you, to persuade you, to protect you. He tells each of us very clearly, do these things and it will go well for you. What happens if you don't? Crash and burn. You've come off the rails. He says, follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God of your ancestors is giving you. God's word has value, worth, and importance. Without God's word, we certainly do not have a moral compass. Without God's word, there's nothing to determine what is a sin. We don't even like that word anymore. Without God's word, we don't know what is bad, what's unethical. There's no foundation upon which to build. Without God's word, we cannot make the promised land work properly. We cannot make the world right. We cannot make ourselves right. We do not know the fundamentals of even of our own existence. Without God's word, we're pointless and purposeless. It is way beyond the government to empty the world of hate. It is way beyond philosophy to bring world peace. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot end sin ourselves. This world has been polluted, it's been corrupted, it's been cursed, it's come off the rails. People are corrupted and come off the rails. You are polluted and cursed and corrupted. Only in Christ. Do you hear me clearly? The word of God became flesh to bring us to a place of redemption, reconciliation, of peace, that we would be right with God. While everything else is messed up, you're right with God. Stay on track. You stay on track. You follow God's word. Because God's word is foundational. And you're going to have to come to a conclusion about your belief system. What you hold fundamental, foundational. What you build your life upon. So what is foundational for you? God's word or political opinion? God's word or celebrity viewpoint? God's word or philosophy? What is foundational for you? Quantum mechanics and physics or God's word? What's foundational for you? Your feelings? Your imagination? You're going to have to begin a foundation upon which to build the rest of your life. Jesus describes an account of two people. Many of us are very familiar with this, the wise and the foolish builder. Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, God's word, and puts them into practice, not just hears the word, but does what? Puts them into practice. is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. It did not go off the rails because it had its foundation upon the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, they still hear the word. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Crash and burn. That's what we're talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what Moses is talking about. God's word needs to be the rock, the bedrock, the foundation. Remember it. Teach it to your children. It will give you peace. It will give you rest. It will give you security. You can have all the power. Stay on track. You can have all the strength. Stay on track. You can have all the victories in Christ. Stay on track. It will go well with you. Stay on track. You can prosper and thrive. Stay on track. Moses said, do not add to what I command and do not subtract from it. Keep the commands of the Lord your God that I will give you. Here's a statement of faith. The Old and New Testaments, next slide. The Old and New Testaments constitute the divine and only rule of Christian faith and practice. That's a statement of faith from membership into the Christian Missionary Alliance. I've taught on it countless times. The Old and New Testament constitute the divine and only rule of Christian faith and practice. God's word, given to you. Verbally inspired by God. They're a complete revelation of his will for your salvation. Who are you listening to? If not God's word. What is the only guide of our faith and practice? God's word. Now, if it's foundational, here's your next slide. Can it be authoritative? Can it be authoritative? God speaks in a very authoritative tone. A command to obedience. A king that has rights. An ability to instruct you on how you might live. See, he's the parent, you're the child. Get it? He's the teacher, you're the student. And if God can get you into that place where you're willing to allow God to be foundational in your life, the word of God to be foundational, are you willing to allow it to be authoritative? To learn to practice, not just hear, but practice. See, God's word, not the Quran, God's word, not the Buddha, God's word, not Baal Peor, God's word, not Islam, not Confucius, not Hinduism, not Darwinism, not existentialism, not humanism or secularism or any other ism. God's word. Not celebrity, not politician, not preacher. Heaven forbid, not celebrity preacher. God's word. God's word. God's word is authoritative. And you know what he did? He told us right in his scripture, he destroyed all those that follow other gods. You shall have no other gods before me. Go take the land. Stay on track. You shall have no other gods before me. If God inspires you to consider his word as foundational into your life, oh, I believe in God. Is that enough? Is that enough? So, demons believe there's a God. Is that enough? Maybe, just maybe, you might be open to taking it up a notch and consider God's word not only foundational, but authoritative. Authoritative meaning it's accurate. It's true, it's reliable, it's dependable, and it's trustworthy. meaning not a suggestion, but a command. His declaration to you is a covenant, the Ten Commandments. He commanded them. These are not 10 suggestions. And then you take the 7 of the ones that you want to apply. The authoritative word of God is a covenant, and it's a command. But is it even relevant for us today? I mean, that's so Old Testament, Pastor. God's word, is that even relevant? I mean, in this century? In our country? Come on. I mean, just reading that scripture, we're generations upon generations upon generations upon generations upon generations upon, I don't know how many I got, but upon generations down the road, way past these caveman ideas. It's a caveman approach to life. Certainly we are smart enough to realize there is no God. We've developed a theory of evolution because we're smart. We've developed the Big Bang Theory and we have asteroid evidence. We put a man on the moon. We can heal with medicine. We make weapons to destroy ourselves. We are smart. Really? We built skyscrapers. We could talk on cell phones and the internet. Certainly, we have advanced down the evolutionary trail far enough to declare ourselves our own God. There's no need for an imaginary phantom in the sky. Certainly, we can determine our own destiny. We're masters of our own fate. It's money that makes the world go round. We can judge people accurately. The Word of God is not relative. The Word of God has no authority. Of course, the Word of God is outdated. So is the Word of God outdated or is it foundational? Is God's Word foundational in your house? Is God's Word foundational in your relationships? Be careful. Crash and burn. Stay on track. Church, I'm so glad God brought you here this morning to hear what He has to say about His Word. To you, about His Word in your life, about His Word in your household, His Word in your relationships. God's Word needs to be foundational. It also needs to be authoritative. It's the guidepost of our faith. God's Word gives us all that we need. There's more power in one Word of God than all of the other enemies and combined vocabulary. And listen, here's your next slide. The Scriptures are not man's word about God. The Scriptures are God's word about man. Take that. Chew on it a little bit. Put it on a refrigerator at home so you don't get off track and start to think in a different way, like the ways of the world. Can we please grab hold of this and understand this? We learn a lot about God from His Word and from the Scriptures, but we learn a lot about ourselves, what He says about us. God's Word is active and it's alive. God's Word is supernatural in its origin, infallible in its authorship, eternal in its duration. God's Word is regenerative in its power. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's body. Above all, guard your heart. Everything you do flows out of God's Spirit within you. And each person is going to have to make a choice to receive or reject the Word of God. You will have to make a choice. Receive or reject the Word of God. You're going to have to make a choice. Receive and accept Jesus Christ or reject. Wake up, church. Have you gotten off track? Are the whistles blowing so loud in your ears right now you can't hear anything else? All aboard. Observe the commandments carefully. For his will, for this will show your wisdom. Observe the commandments carefully. This will show your wisdom. And if you don't, what does it show? Your foolishness. Listen carefully. This will show your wisdom and it will show your understanding to the nations, to those that are around you who will hear about these decrees, about what's foundational in your life, what's authoritative in your life. And they would say, surely this great nation is wise and an understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray to him? What other person is filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God? There isn't. When we stand on the authoritative word of God, we stand with God and all his authority. All his authority. Isn't that amazing? All his authority. Not your title. All his authority. Do not add to what I commanded you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God. And see, this is where for me it gets a little bit exciting. Because God's word, it does reveal something about himself, doesn't it? It's a revelation of who God is, how he's unchanging. He does not flounder or sway or go to and fro. God's word is a revelation of himself. So there's your next one. A revelation. God's word is a revelation of himself. He's telling you everything you need to know about you, and he's telling you everything you need to know about him. Not everything there is to know, everything you need to know. Remember, he's the parent, you're the child. He's the teacher, you're the student. See, you can't add to God's foundational word. You can't take away from it, and you don't change God. Isn't that amazing? You do not change God with your disbelief. Well, you know, Pastor, the people coming to church, they just think about different. Well, so what is, okay, God change? You know, for years and years and years, people say, you know, Pastor, you know, I can't believe those people. They're going to leave the church now. You know they're going to leave the, well, should I not preach on Sunday? Should I get off track because other people are off track? Should I not be here preaching the word of God because people didn't show up today? Should I not be doing what God is asking me to do because they're not? You better get on track and stay on track and recognize what that looks like and how the enemy wants to deceive you and split rail you so that you crash and burn. You don't change God with your doubt. You don't change God with your questions. You don't change God with your disobedience. You don't change God with your arrogance. You do not change God with your rejection of him. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Many great nations have tried to destroy the word of God. Nations greater than America, bigger, larger, more influential around the world, have tried to wipe out the word of God, and here it is in your lap. Still thriving, still surviving, because some people stayed on track. You want to know God? One of the driving things for me. If I believed there was a God, I wanted to know him. I couldn't just ignore. Well, I believe. It was way too. I felt a spirituality that I needed to try to grasp and understand. You want to know God? Get in the Word. Amen. You want answers for your life? Get in the Word. Yes. You want direction for your life? Get in the Word. You want a good marriage? Get in the Word. You want to know what God thinks about you? Get in the Word. You want to know what God thinks about your neighbor? Get in the Word. You want to end your depression, your despair, your doubt? Get in the Word. You want healing for your body, mind, and soul? Get in the Word. You want to know how to handle trials and tribulations and tragedies? Get in the Word. You want to know who to pray for? Get in the Word. You want to know what's next for your life? Get in the Word. You want to know the purpose for your very existence? Get in the Word. You want to hear God's voice? Read His Word. You want to know what Jesus was like? Get in the Word. God's will is a revelation of Himself. Jesus' Word became flesh. What? Yeah. You want to know God? Get to know Jesus. That ain't religion, folks. Get to know Jesus. God's word's compelling. God's word's refreshing. God's word's truth. God's word's salvation. God's word is merciful and graceful and love. God is love. Jesus is God. You want to know love? Get in the Word. God has answered so many questions already in the Word. Now, bringing it home. Here it is. The big challenge, kind of the misnomer, the big trick of the devil. Thinking that you can be Christ-like without ever knowing what Christ was like. Because you're not in the Word. Thinking that somehow you can know all the fullness of God and neglect His Word. Thinking that somehow you can know all there is, the riches of God, and neglect Jesus. Thinking that somehow you can have all the fullness of God and all the fullness of understanding and neglect His church. Thinking that somehow you can gain all the full understanding and riches and wisdom of God and neglect His commands to you. Thinking that somehow you can gain all this understanding of God and wisdom of the universe and you avoid studying His Word. You avoid living His ways. See, the struggles come when you do things your way and not God's way. You've gotten off track. You've appointed yourself as the engineer and you've derailed. The struggle is too many people, way too many people, they're seeking God in the stars, not in His Word. Looking to God to give them some mystical answer in the vapor trails of the sky. Or they're listening to the babbling brook in nature. God, speak to me. Oh, they're rubbing gemstones together. Oh, there's magical healing in these powers. Listen, folks, keep your eyes on the Creator, not on His creation. You want an understanding? Look to the Creator. Why are you worshiping the creation? And as far as I've understood, I think there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, so all this stuff that you're looking at and worshiping is going to crash and burn because it's come off the rails. And you're looking to it for wisdom? You're looking to it for knowledge and understanding? Creation reveals the existence of God. His Word is what He has to say to us. Creation reveals the existence of God. His Word is what He has to say to you. Where are you looking? What are you investing yourself into? Are you buying into some new age mysticism, not listening to what God has already said? You're going to Him saying, hey, I need to read it. I already spoke about that, my word. No, Lord, you don't understand. I need to understand. Should I be leaving my wife and going and doing all these things? I've already told you in my word. No, God, you don't seem to understand. I don't need the church. I can just avoid the church, right? I don't need to have fellowship. You don't understand. I've already spoken about that in my word. Where are you looking for the answers for the fulfillment of the hole that's in your soul? Get in His Word. He already has a voice. He wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to reveal Himself to you. Are you looking somewhere else? Are you listening to something else? Are you listening to someone else? Let me tell you, you're open to some serious deception and the tricks of the enemy. The entire deception of Eve, which set this earth on a terrible collision course and set it off the rails, the entire deception of Eve simply getting her to neglect what God had already said. Are you neglecting what God has already said? Do you question what he's already said? Do you doubt the word of God? Are you listening to something or someone else? Here's your last slide. Do you doubt the word of God? You may already be deceived. Come out from the curse. Get back on the rails. Have faith in what has already been spoken, what has already been revealed to you. Trust it. Learn it. Rely on it. Live by it. You will be the wise builder who built his house upon the rock, the word of God. Let me pray with you. Father, in this place, this time, thank you so very much for the way in which you continue to minister in us and through us. We pray that you would bind us together, Father, in this place as a body, a fellowship of believers. It would honor you and glorify you and seek your holy name. And Father, this place is dedicated and set aside for you and for your good works. May you continue to draw people unto yourself that you might be honored and glorified. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Mr. Elder, thank you so much. Take an offering.